The second day of Chinese New Year, well, we will be dealing with the topic recipe for a blessed New Year. Indeed, it is so joyful, right? It's great joy to see all of you here in the house of the Lord on the New Year. And in fact, this is something that is very biblical. If you look at the nation of Israel, you will realize that on every first day of the month, and of course that will also include the first day of the year, well, they will always have a Sabbath that is called the Festival of the New Moon. And it will be a day of rest and worship for the children of Israel. And so by coming to the Lord's house, this Lunar New Year, well, we are following after good tradition. Right, that we want to confess, just like the saints of old, right, that the only way we can have a good New Year is by dedicating the entire year to the Lord. And so how happy it is, and what a joyful occasion this is to see the saints in the house of the Lord. And so on behalf of the session, we want to wish everyone a very blessed New Year. 平安门福，主恩满意. And so, every Chinese New Year, as we go about visitation, one thing that the Chinese would like to do is to wish one another a blessed and prosperous Chinese New Year. And I'm sure everyone down here will want to have a blessed and prosperous Chinese New Year. But the question is, how to have a blessed and prosperous Chinese New Year? What is the recipe to be happy this year? Now, the way to be happy, the way to have this the experience of blessedness, the way to have a prosperous New Year is not to follow after the ways of the world. Well, the ways of the world, they have their own definition of what it means to have a prosperous New Year. And they will have their own ways on how to find success in the next 365 days. But we who are Christians, we know that the Bible is the word of truth, that the Bible is God's perfect book. And so the question is, does the Bible tell us how indeed we may find blessedness not only in this New Year but also in our lives? Now, the answer is an emphatic yes, because here in the very first Psalm, in the whole book of Psalms, 150 Psalms in total, right from the very first verse, God's word already tells us that indeed we can find blessedness in this life. And in this very psalm, the Bible also tells us who are the ones who are blessed and who are the ones who will not be able to find blessedness in this life. It's also very interesting that not only in this psalm, but if you read the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ also begins with the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, what we have is, blessed are, for example, the poor in spirit. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. A whole series of blessings, right, being given out by the Lord Jesus Christ, telling the people who came to hear him who exactly are those who will find true happiness and joy in this world. And so, yes, it's one thing to wish one another blessed New Year. But what is more important is that every one of us that are gathered here today may truly find and experience blessedness this Chinese New Year. And so here, God's word tells us how. Verse 1 tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, what you will find with regards to this word blessed is that, yes, it can refer to somebody who is happy, but it is not the kind of happiness as the world would define it. You see, the world, when, for example, they go out and they have, let's say, a party, or they eat maybe some food which they enjoy, they will say, oh, now I'm very happy, or I'm feeling very happy. Or they be around, or they play some games that they like, or partake in some sports which they enjoy, and then they say, oh, now I'm very happy. Or they receive something from their friends which they like very much, or from their family, and then they will say, oh, now I'm very happy. But this word, blessed, means more than just happy. For this type of happiness is something which you can only obtain when you find full satisfaction in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There is no blessedness outside of Christ and His Word. You look in the Bible, and then you examine all the pages, you will find that the word blessed has always been applied to all those who are true believers. It has never, never been employed with regards to anyone who has not come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. And why is that so? Because all those who have not come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, their sins are not yet washed away. And as long as their sins are not yet washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Bible tells us is that the wrath of God is still abiding upon them. And we know from the Holy Scriptures that if they do not repent of their sin and come to Jesus Christ and embrace Him and accept Him as their Lord and as their Savior, to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again from the dead on the third day, then we know the end of such people. And the Bible tells us that the end of such people would be finally in the lake of fire. That is condemnation. That is not called the state of blessedness. That is called a curse. And so, therefore, my beloved friends who are seated down here, firstly, before you want to talk about a blessed Chinese New Year, and not just a blessed Chinese New Year, but a blessed life ahead, the way to find this kind of true happiness, really, the first step that you need to do is to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if you do not come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will never be able to find happiness because the wrath of God is still abiding upon you. Still abiding upon you. In fact, Chinese New Year is a very good time where we remind one another about the importance of finding blessedness in the Lord. Was just told by someone, right, regarding the old Chinese practice, and I heard some parts in China they still do that, and sometimes in Singapore we still see this, right? Very often, right, people like to line the doorpost with red. Now, some people they claim, well, this is what they claim, well, this has to do with an old tradition that passed down all the way from the Jews, right, all the way from the historical event of the Passover. Now, we do not know about this. Right, we do not know about this, it's possible. But one thing we do know, that as Christians, as we go about and we see the colored red, it should remind us about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who has cleansed us from all our sins. And then if you examine many of the words of the Chinese language, many of the characters of the Chinese language, you will realize that many of these words, they actually point people towards the truth of the Holy Scriptures, isn't it? For example, you look at the word fool. The word fool, right, on the left-hand side consists of sin, that is God. And on the right-hand side, it's basically Yi Kuo Tian, one man in the garden, right, talks about the time in the time of creation. And then you look at, for example, the word xiang. The xiang has one side, also God. The other side has the word lamb. Right? Talks about the Lamb of God. Right? And all these things, when we see them, and we see them being written sometimes upon the walls of houses. Yes, for other people, when they look at these things, they only think about superstition. They only think about material prosperity, which they hope will pour into their houses. But for Christians, when they see all these terms, it ought to strike in them a holy remembrance of what the Lord has done for us in our lives. That because He, indeed, by the Lamb of God, has already cleansed us from all our sins, and so therefore now we can have this blessedness in Christ Jesus Himself. And so understand this, that if without the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not even be able to wish one another a blessed New Year. And the very fact that we today can come here and then with great confidence wish one another blessed Chinese New Year, the only reason why we can do that is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so understand this first. That indeed, if you firstly want to have this experience of blessedness, you want to have a blessed New Year, first and foremost, the prerequisite would be this. You first need to come before Jesus Christ and have Him to be your Lord and your Savior. And once you do that, your relationship now with your Father in heaven is no longer that of an enemy. Instead, now God the Father will be your personal heavenly Father, and now you are His child. No more enemy, but part of the family of God. And is that not something that we ought to rejoice and be very happy about? So first and foremost is, make sure you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. But having said that, now that you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not willing to be careful of how we conduct ourselves in this life, if we are not willing to be careful, we are very careless with our walk with God, then although, yes, we may have this relationship with Him, but as we walk this New Year, if we are not concerned about God at all, then this experience of blessedness may truly be lost. Because the Bible here tells us very clearly that if you truly want to have this experience of blessedness, then you must make sure that in your life, you must walk close to God. And what does it mean, therefore, to walk close to God? Here the Bible tells us that if you walk close to God, firstly, you will be very, very careful with the kind of associations that you have in this world. You will not have ungodly associations. If you examine how verse 1 is written, you will realize that, you know, as it progresses, the words, right, the verbs, as well as the nouns, right, they will grow in terms of intensity. Now you watch, right? Blessed is the man that firstly walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So firstly, you will have a man that is walking, and is walking with respect to, right, walking meaning he is adopting, he is following the various advice, various lessons, various suggestions that were given to him by a group of people that are called the ungodly. Now, who are the ungodly? Now, the word godly basically means anybody who is like God. Like God in what sense? Right, like God, of course, not in terms of omnipotence, omnipresence, or omniscience. That one, Right, those attributes are what we call incommunicable attributes, and they belong solely only to God. But when we talk about somebody who is godly, somebody who is like God, we are saying that, for example, when God is love, so this person, when you look at how he conducts himself in his life, you will also see the love of God in him. When you say God is, right, God is somebody, God is truth, right? You will see that this person, as he conducts himself in this life, will also conduct himself according to the truth of God's word, and is also truthful in all his ways. When we say that God is just, well, this person is also a person who pursues justice in this life. And so, godly, a person who basically is like Christ, right? Christ-like. Then what about the ungodly? Well, ungodly would be people who are not like God. And these are basically people who are therefore not believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in order to be godly, first and foremost, you would have to come to Christ, isn't it? But these people, they are still not yet in Christ. And so with regards to their outward conduct, you will realize that they are not like God, they are not like Christ, and they also abide by principles that are not according to the word of God. And so therefore, this will be the ungodly. Now, having said that, when the ungodly, when they give certain advice to us, not all the time the ungodly mean to do us evil, isn't it? Because, for example, some of you here, you may have parents who are unbelievers. Now, parents who are unbelievers, naturally, when they give advice to their children, they will not be following the word of God, isn't it? Because to them, they are still spiritually blinded. The word of God is just like any ordinary book. They will be following the ways of the world, and they will give all kinds of advice to you. And for example, in Singapore, a typical parent would oftentimes give advice which, right, other Singapore parents would give. Oh, work hard, next time you have a better job, and then so on and so forth. And then, you know, make sure that in the CCA you also excel. Make sure in these things you do this, make sure in these things you do that. Right, most Singaporean parents have a typical materialistic perspective, and they probably push their children in that way. Now, and so when the parents come, now you happen to be a child, you happen, for example, to be a believer. Right, you go according to the word, you know that God's word says, do not love the world. Then you have your father or your mother or perhaps your brothers or sisters or sometimes maybe even your close friends, right? Close friends which you work in the workplace. And sometimes they are your friends, yes. And then when they look at you work, they are very concerned about you. And some people generally want you to excel in your workplace. And so they may give certain advice. But you know that this advice which they have given is not according to the truth of the scriptures. Right, they may encourage you, career progression is very important, you know, so you must do this, do that. You must make sure, for example, you know, you want to excel, to be a teacher, take part, all these kinds of projects. Make sure outside you also do this, make sure outside you also do that. Well, they may say something like this. Or in the company, you make sure that, you know, the boss likes this kind of activity. And then you go and you make sure you accept this kind of project and make sure you do very well. And then you know that as you accept this project, it may require you to compromise certain things concerning the Christian faith. It may pull you, for example, from the study of God's word. It may pull you away from coming to God's house to worship. Now, this friend, when he asks you to accept this particular project, this person may mean well for you. Right? Because this is how the people of the world would think. But you abide by different principles. You should abide by God's word. And you know that what you should do is the will of God. If God has asked you to take up a certain project, firstly, that project would not be one that would tear you away from Him, isn't it? You know that. But then, people, they come. And sometimes, even with good intentions, they come, they tell you all these things. And because they are people in whom you have a certain relationship with, and when they come to you, they are truly very sincere in their disposition. And so you hear. You hear their counsel. You hear their advice. You hear their suggestions. And soon, instead of following God's word. What you do instead is to heed whatever that they say, and then you begin to walk in their ways. Even though you know that these things are contrary to what God's words has said. And so you take a little bite of that carrot. You take a little bite. So first, you start walking. Now, after you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, the next thing that will happen is this. Okay? Soon you walk not, and then you are not careful. Very soon, you will find yourself standing. So from walking, now you stand. Then you see the progression. Now it's no longer called the ungodly. Now this group of people are called the sinners. You are standing in the way of sinners. Now what do we mean by sinners? Now they are not just ungodly people. Ungodly people is a general term referring to those who are unbelievers. They are spiritually blinded. They still don't understand the things pertaining to Holy Scriptures. But when we talk about sinners, it refers to people who are frequently, habitually practicing evil and iniquity. And so this will be people who are seeking outright to rebel against what is good and what is holy. This will be the sinners. And so no longer just the general unbelievers, but these were people who outrightly would, in their ways, in their conduct, in their behaviors, would go against God. Last time, you just simply listened to advice and then you just follow. But now you find yourself standing. In other words, you are steeped in their ways now and you are doing the same things that which they are doing. And that is exactly what will happen if we are not careful with the association that we have. Now, does that mean that we isolate ourselves? Of course not. A Christian should not be isolationist. Right? If we are isolationists, we hide ourselves, we go and hide in the caves. Oh, I can only go about with Christians in my life. You know, I go to the workplace. All those who are unbelievers, please, sir, you stay away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you, okay? Nothing, okay? I only want to be in the cubicle together with Christians. Then how are you going to share the gospel with them? Right? You have to talk with them, you have to interact with them. But what he says down here is, yes, sometimes they come and give certain advice. You make sure you apply discernment. You know what they say, whether according to the scriptures or not. And then if the counsel is against the Holy Scriptures, make sure you do not walk in them. Because very soon, if you do so, then you will not only be classified together with the general people who are unbelievers, but those who are outrightly sinning, you will soon find yourself to be no different from them. You are now standing in their ways. Your conduct is exactly like them. And you are very comfortable with it because now you are standing. And if you are still not careful, you still refuse to take heed to God's word, then what will happen will be this. Soon you will be sitting, so now no longer walking, no longer standing. So from walking, now you are standing. Now from standing, you are seated. Well, seated is the most comfortable position. Now you don't want to move, right? Some of you, especially if you are getting on with age, once you sit down, and then somebody asks you to get up and move and do something, you don't want to move from your seat. True? I don't know. It's starting to happen to me sometimes. Oh, asked to do something. Now I must get off from my seat. You're already very comfortable. You are seated down. Right? That's exactly what's happening. Well, now, even more comfortable, you are seated. And seated in the seat of the scornful. In the seat. Here, the seat would be a seat of power. You are ruling together with them. Ruling together with who? Now, no longer just the ungodly. Now, no longer just the sinners, which is a further upgrade. Now, with the scornful. Now, what is the difference between the scornful and the sinners? Right, the sinners, in their ways, yes, they may rebel against God. But the scornful goes one step further with respect to their words, with respect to their actions. They outrightly attack God. They outrightly declare, I am against the word of God. Now you are together with them and you are ruling. You are in the leadership together with them. You are in the top echelon now. So at first you are outside of their company. Now you are within their company. Now you are a leader within their company. That is something that is very, very scary, isn't it? And so therefore, we must be very careful in our lives that we should not have any ungodly associations with the people that we come into contact with. Please, again, do not misunderstand that we are talking about isolationism. We are not asking people to be isolationists. God's word is not asking people to be isolationists. You have to go out there, you have to interact with people, and you have to bear forth a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them about the truth. But in terms of our ways, in terms of our conduct, in terms of our thinking, please do not let the influence of the world, the influence of the ungodly, to come into our midst. Not one step. Not one step. Because once you do so, and what may happen is, you will just slide, and very soon the slide will lead you into the doldrums. It will be very, very fast, very, very rapid. You will realize that those who are blessed, and those who are blessed, yes, of course, there are people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they also in their lives, they will be very careful with their associations. They will not want to be partaking in the activities with those who are evil and with those who are wicked. And even when people with good intentions, they tell them certain advice, they will make sure they will evaluate very carefully, is this advice something that is according to God's word? And you will realize, also from the Holy Scriptures, though not stated in someone, is that those who are Christians and desire to have this experience of blessedness, to have this enjoyment of blessedness, you will realize that in their life, they will also want to be associated with people who are accounted to be faithful saints. Now, how do we know this? You just leave your finger here. You turn with me to Psalm 119 and verse 63. Psalm 119, about a psalm that talks very extensively about God's word, the beauty of God's word, the sensuality of God's word. And here in this psalm, in verse 63, you will realize, right, this is what the psalmist say, right, in this particular psalm. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. You see, I am a companion. Right? Who are those that are my closest friends? Well, those who are my closest friends, they will be all those who truly fear your name. So they are not just people who profess to be Christians, but they are also people who are true practitioners of God's word. In their heart, they are truly devoted unto the fear of the Lord and to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are wholly devoted unto God's word. They will want to obey God's word, right? True practitioners of God's word. Right? This ought to be a characteristic of everyone that is born again. Right? You turn with me also to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And here, God's word says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, right? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? We have fellowship one with another. You will want to be around fellow saints, and you want to encourage one another, you will want to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. And so, yes, you want to have a blessed Chinese New Year, and not just a blessed Chinese New Year, but blessedness throughout your entire life, and you not only want to have it, you want to have this experience, you want to enjoy it. Then please, firstly, number one, as we have stated before, make sure first you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on, in your ways, as what naturally actually should be the case for a Christian, please make sure that with regards to your associations, you do not have any ungodly associations. Right? Biblical separation. And then, with respect to your association, make sure, right? On the other hand, right? Not just ungodly association, but also please have and pursue after godly associations. So avoid flee ungodly associations, but pursue, embrace godly associations with those of whom truly love the Lord Jesus Christ and are faithful to Christ and His word. You want to have associations with them because they will be the ones who will be concerned about your spiritual life. They will be the ones who will look out for you. They will be the ones who will continually push you and press you towards the right obedience of God's word. Then what else? In verse 2, we are told here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And so, down here, what you'll find in verse 2 is the third part of this recipe, which is you will want a person, right? A person in order to have, right, this experience of blessedness, he must be a person who is delighting in the Word of God. And what does it mean, therefore, to delight in the Word of God? Well, the Bible tells us, in His law doth He meditate day and night. Now, there are a lot of things in which we, people in this world, would like to delight in, and sometimes we also delight in some of these things. Sometimes it's not wrong to delight in these things, especially if these things are given to the Lord for you, for your enjoyment, and for you to use for the extension of His kingdom. But some of these things that we delight in, you know, will lead us away from Christ. Some of us, we delight in our bank accounts. We love money. We won't say it, but that's what we look forward to. We look forward to the amount, right, to the pay that we will get in the account every month, and then we look forward to it. So every month we know it comes, for example, maybe on the 10th of the month. So on the 10th of the month we look, and then we make sure, and then we enjoy seeing the figure jump. And then, while we may not say it with our mouths, in our heart we tell ourselves, my aim is to make sure that next time when the figure jump, it will jump by a greater amount. Last time it jumped in the 4th digit column, next time I make sure it jump in the 5th digit column. Every time, every month. Not only just 1 month, every month make sure the 5th digit column, because it means my pay is 5 digit. So last time 4 digit, now 5 digits. We tell ourselves, that is my aim. But we may not say out, but that is what is our aim. And then we delight in it. And then we look forward to it. And when it does happen, wow, we feel so happy. Wow, look at the increase in our pay. Or we may be delighting in other things such as, well, our achievements, power. Or we may be delighting ourselves, for example, in things like, oh, sports. English Premier League every Sunday, that is what we live for. Every Saturday, every Sunday, just look forward, whether Manchester United or Liverpool or Chelsea, well, they must play. And then when the English Premier League season ends, wow, something is missing in our life. And then the next 2 or 3 months, we drag ourselves, and then until the Premier League season open. And then if, let's say if our team is not playing, and then it is international friendly, wow, international friendly, we'll have to wait 1 more month. Wow, we only live for soccer. And so we arrange our timetable all around soccer, all around soccer, because we delight in soccer. So arrange a timetable, you know, now soccer is, I have to get up. My team is playing in the Champions League, UEFA Champions League. So plan around the time. Not according to our calling. Calling maybe to be a faithful student and a worker. We know that if we wake up at 3:45, maybe the next day we cannot function. Right? Some of us, we know our bodies. If we do so, maybe even for 1 day, our bodies cannot function. But my team. And so, 3:45, make sure you plan. I sleep early and then wake up 3:45. So, that night, I make sure I sleep, 7 p.m. So, 7 p.m. eat already. Then tell our wives, good night, okay, I'm going to sleep. So, go and sleep. The next day, 3:45, wake up. 3:45. UEFA Champions League. And then after that, go to work. But then, and then work. The boss has a meeting. Yes, boss. But I actually don't know what the boss say. The boss say something wrong also. Yes, boss. Because so sleepy. Cannot concentrate at work. We are called to be faithful workers at the workplace, but then we are not functioning well there for the Lord. Why? Because our delight is in UEFA Champions League. Our favorite team is playing. And then our whole life is centered around these things. Or maybe we are delight ourselves in children, delight ourselves in food. A lot of things men like to delight themselves in. Like to find their enjoyment, their happiness, their all in all, their satisfaction in these things. But here, God's word tells us that if you are truly a Christian, and if you truly want to have this full enjoyment of blessedness in Christ Jesus, then make sure that your delight in this life is in none other than the law of God, in God's word. If there must be one thing in your life in which you are addicted to, it must be to the Holy Scriptures. Must be to the Holy Scriptures. And so, when it comes to the Holy Scriptures, you know that, for example, Bible study is coming. You know, for example, Sunday is coming. You know, for example, oh, the next day when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to have my quiet time. Do you look forward to quiet time? Do you look forward to Bible study? Do you look forward to fellowship groups? Do you look forward to Sunday worship service or whatever, wherever it is involving the Word of God? Do you look forward to it? The kind of happiness, the kind of joy. I want to read God's Word. I want to study God's Word. And not just to the reading and to the studying of God's Word. But when you talk about delight, reading and studying is one thing, because a lot of people can read, a lot of people can study God's Word. But whether or not in our lives we truly live by God's Word is another thing. Because when we talk about delight, a true delight in God's Word will always result in obedience to the Holy Scriptures. Because that is what we enjoy doing, following what the Bible says. You cannot say, I love God's Word, and then with regards to His commandments, no, I don't want to follow. That is not called loving God's Word. That's not called delighting in God's Word. That is called hypocrisy. Straightforward, it's hypocrisy. And many of us, and including those of us who are in the full-time ministry, sometimes struggle with it, isn't it? You don't even talk about obedience. You talk about even about studying God's Word. Or sometimes, prepare one message, two messages, three messages. After a while, prepare 10 messages a week. Let's say 10 messages a week. And the next few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, all like that. And then after a while, study God's Word, become like a textbook. And then you read God's Word, no longer delight. Only think, so many things to prepare. What a chore. You see? The mind now is what a chore. Very easy. Very easy. Reading God's Word become a chore. And if that happens, even with regards to reading God's Word, you don't even need to talk about obeying God's Word, isn't it? It becomes a chore. But if a person truly delights in the law of God, what you will find that in his life, in the law of God, he will meditate therein, right? Day and night, right? In his law, doth he meditate. That means he think about it, he ponder about it, and then he makes sure his ways are directed towards it, day and night. Now, it doesn't mean that day and night he's just open the Bible and then does nothing, and then just read the Bible, and then just think about the Bible, and then don't need to go out of the house. Of course not. But what it means is that as he goes out, wherever he needs to do outside, he will make sure that all his ways are ordered according to God's Word. That when he picks up a phone call, when he writes an article, when he talks with and does his business, everything he makes sure, he ponders, what does God's Word teach? How am I supposed to conduct myself in this particular situation? And then he observes, he ponders, and then he obeys. He will meditate upon it day and night. Not one moment in his life is he going to let go of God's Word. He wants to always be found abiding in the Holy Scriptures. He will read his Holy Scriptures, study the Holy Scriptures, obey the Holy Scriptures. He does talk, for example, about reading and studying Holy Scriptures. Now, when we read and study the Holy Scriptures, why read and study the Holy Scriptures? Because when we read the Bible, is this not in some sense God's love letter for us? True? Isn't it? And if we say we love someone, we will want to read the love letter which the person gives to us, right? True? I mean, if let's say you have a couple that is courting, and then a couple that is courting, and then, you know, when for example, the man send an SMS, now no more SMS, last time SMS, now is WhatsApp. Okay, WhatsApp. Send a WhatsApp to the girl. Hello? Then all the sweet things we don't want to mention here in the pulpit. Okay, so and so, so and so. I'm missing you. Wow, then you read already, you're very happy, right? Then you want to read some more, right? True? Wow, hey, got any more? No more. Must be my darling is busy. Okay, wait later on. Wow, night time. Ding, wow, here he comes again. You want to read, right? Where got ding? Aiya, ding, it's my darling. And then put one side. Nobody will say such a thing, right? You are looking forward to read the SMS because there is the love message from your darling. True? And then when you all have time together, and then when the loving couple, when they go out to court, and then they have some time together, you know, wow, they will wish that the event will not end. Because they are together with one another, how I wish that the day will not end. And then when the time comes to part, when will I see the person again? True? Right? And even if you talk about husband and wife, that is also true. Of course, husband and wife, sometimes because they see 24 hours, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, so sometimes, yes, right, maybe a few things, well, no longer like last time. But even then, right, after a talk in the middle of the day, and then at night, it's a little bit late. Is my darling coming back? And then when darling comes back, wow, so happy, right? True? I hope so. And you delight in a person. Well, that is exactly what it will be, isn't it? How come when it comes to God's word, that same kind of delight is not there? Now, that is the question. And so, if we want to have this true joy, happiness, satisfaction in the Lord, when it comes to God's word, we must make sure that we count it a delight. And the only way we can count it a delight is if we truly understand what God's word is. Right? That God's word is truly given. Right? God's love letter to us. And also for our profit, for our learning. It is God's word, as in God's word, not just word, not just the word, but God's word. God's divine message, God's divine words to us. And just last week we heard, God is love. If God is love and God in his love gave us these words, why don't we want to delight in it? We want to read it, we want to meditate upon it, and we want to observe it. And when we truly abide in God's word, what will happen? Well, that blessedness is described to us in verse 3, isn't it? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right, this is right. The picture is like that of a tree that is placed, right, that is found beside all the various tributaries of a river. And remember, when right, these psalms, right, the context in which they are written, right, these psalmists, they will live in the Middle Eastern region, and they will be very familiar with desert conditions. And you know that if you're going to walk through a desert and there is no river, there is no water, it's only going to be just sand and a lot of death. No life. And that is why when you study how Abraham, right, Abram, when he journeyed from the Ur of the Chaldees into the Promised Land, you will realize that he does not go a straight route through the desert. He will walk along the river. But as he walk along the river, you will find that the geography of the land is very different. You'll find that life is thriving along the river tributaries because the water brings about life. And so when you have a tree planted in a place where there is no water, it will die. But when a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters, yes, when it's time to bear fruit, it will bear fruit. And then it leaves, it will not wither, it will be a prospering tree. And that is exactly the picture of a person who is willing to follow the recipe of blessedness. With respect to his life, he will have what we'll call true prosperity. God does not want us to not prosper. God wants us to prosper. But what is prosperity? The kind of prosperity that He wants us to have is not so much in terms of material prosperity, but in terms of spiritual prosperity. This person will be spiritually prosperous. And he will abide in the Lord. Yes, there will be challenging circumstances of life. There will be difficulties. There will be tribulations. But all in all, when you look at his life, he will be so full of the fruit of the Spirit. He will continue to abide in the Holy Scriptures. And because he abides in the Holy Scriptures, what he will have is this experience of a peace that passeth all understanding, that the world cannot understand. He will have joy unspeakable because he knows that no matter what happens in his life, the Lord is his shepherd. And he already has a place in heaven. And because of that, oh, how happy, how joyful in every event of his life, no matter how difficult. That is what he means by blessedness, dear friends. And whatsoever he doeth, the Bible tells us will prosper. Why? Because what he will do, he will be doing the will of God. And he does the will of God. Why would not God prosper his hands? God will prosper his hands because that is exactly what is in the heart of God. That is what true success means. True success means doing the will of God. And if you do the will of God, your Lord will cooperate with you. The Lord will grant you good success. Whatever you do will prosper. On the other hand, you look at the ungodly. And the Bible is very emphatic with regards to the ungodly. Now, if you want the recipe of for a blessed new year, well, it's given to us, verses 1 to 3. Now, you want a recipe for a disastrous new year, it's also given to us. I don't think you want to follow that recipe. The recipe is very short and simple. It just says the ungodly are not so. Right? In fact, the emphasis is on the term, the expression not so. Not so the ungodly. In other words, just do the opposite. Because the ungodly will do the opposite. You just follow the footsteps of the ungodly. You just do everything opposite to what the recipe is supposed to be. And that it will be a disastrous new year. I don't think you want that. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants a blessed new year. So I'm very sure that all of you will strive to follow the recipe for a blessed new year. But if we don't, well, the sword is for us. The ungodly, they are not so. You know that instead of being like a tree, they will be like the chaff, right, which the wind driveth away, right? This will be the very small kernels or outside shell of the seeds, right? When people do harvesting, right, do like winnowing, they will throw the seeds in the air, the wind will blow it away. What falls down is the portion which the farmers would want. Right? All the unwanted portion, they are light, they will be the outside shell, they will be all blown away by the wind. In other words, blow away and then no more. Bye-bye. They will be gone. Right? And that is exactly what will happen. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Right? Exactly what we heard in the beginning of the sermon. One day, you know that they will have to stand before the great white throne and they will be judged and their end will be in the lake of fire. Sure, you see them, and sometimes due to our weakness of our flesh, we feel very envious about them because we see the ungodly, they are seated in places of judgment, seated in places of authority, and they seem to hold so much power. And we say, oh, we tell ourselves, why must they hold so much power? What is this? And yet the truth of the Holy Scriptures tells us that if you walk in the path of the ungodly, it will only be a matter of time whereby this power is taken from you. You will not be the ones in judgment. Instead, who will be the ones in judgment? Now you watch. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So the Bible here implies that in the end, the people who will sit in judgment will be who? Will be none other than the righteous. The righteous, when will they sit in judgment? Well, at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and then at the end of the times, in the new heaven and new earth, who will sit to judge together with Christ? Will it be none other than the saints? Right, the saints will be the one seated together with Christ to rule and to judge together with Him. And the sinners, they will have no part with respect to this. And you know that they have no part with respect to this. Why then do you want to stand in their way? Don't stand in their way. You know that their way, ultimately, destruction, disaster, unhappiness, sorrow. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Knoweth. Here talks about experiential knowledge. And the way it is written here in verse 6 also tells us, right, based upon the word knoweth, right, you can also translate it as, for the Lord is knowing the way of the righteous. In other words, the Lord not only knows your way just one day or just 2 days. The Lord, when He says He knows you, He is consistently knowing you. He does not forget about you. He cares for you. Please make sure first, though, you are counted among those who are the righteous. And when you are counted among those who are the righteous, isn't it such a wonderful privilege? Isn't it such a wonderful blessing to have the Lord always by your side? Because the Lord, the word tells us here, the Lord cares for you. He knows you. Experientially. It's not just superficial knowing. Experiential. Just like how a good father would know his son. The Lord also knows His children, those who are His saints. On the other hand, contrasted with those who are the ungodly. The ungodly, they pursue after their own ways. You know, ultimately, those ways will perish. And if the scriptures tells us so, why then do we want to follow them? Don't associate yourselves with them. Associate yourselves with those who are godly, those who are faithful, those who love God's words, those who fear Him. Delight yourself in God's word. That will be the recipe for a blessed new year. Will you have a blessed new year? Well, that is our prayer and that is our desire. Please make sure first you are a believer, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed new year comes when you take care of your associations, biblical separation, nothing to do with the ungodly, but pursuing godliness, right, in everything, pursuing associations with those who are faithful and love the Lord, and then with respect to God's word, truly delight in it. In other words, if you pursue after the things of God, therein lies the recipe for a happy, blessed life. Blessed Chinese New Year. May this experience of blessedness truly be yours. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we pray and desire that Thou would even grant us true joy in our lives. And this we know can only come if we walk close to Thee. And so by Thy Spirit, we plead of Thee, help us to walk aright in all our ways. And truly, O Lord, may we find our satisfaction in Thee, that our cry would be the same cry like the saints of old, like that of David, who says that Thou art our shepherd, in Thee we shall not want. And that in the Lord Jesus Christ we have our all in all. And so, Lord, help us to abide by Thy word. And our desire for each and every one of us gathered here today, O Lord, is that Thou would truly grant us a very blessed new year. This is our humble cry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.